We're going to do it together. We have to unify, put our petty differences aside, who's more powerful, who has the information, and let's work together in lockstep. You, the people, your stories are fascinating. They're real, they're organic, and they're the truth.
Right now with Ann Vandersteel. Good evening. This is Right Now with Ann Vandersteel. 30 minutes of hard-hitting headline news, all signal, zero noise. Brought to you by Satellite Phone Store. Go to sat123.com. Get all of your communication tools you will need to ride out the storm that is upon us. Okay, the banking meltdown crisis, it is continuing, ladies and gentlemen, and it's not getting any better despite whatever you might be hearing out there. Brace for impact. And of course, Putin, the only adult in the room, has brought together Syria and Turkey in a meeting in Moscow. And guess what, folks? In case you haven't looked up in the sky lately, the aliens are coming. That's right. The Department of Defense screaming, the aliens are coming. They are upon us. And of course, remdesivir, the things we should be screaming about right here, killing our own brothers and sisters, moms, dads, aunts, uncles, right here in the killing fields of our hospitals. We'll talk about that. And BLM, did you know that they actually sometimes operate on a bigger GDP than maybe, I don't know, a dozen or more African nations? All that right now, tonight on Friday on TV.
SAT123.com. They have put together a really incredible package, emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones, we've got solar panels, and also the big 400 watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts. And the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently, but it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol or law enforcement and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks.
Freedom of speech is a basic human right that has been hard-won and granted to all law-abiding Americans. As such, we should not take our freedom of speech and expression for granted. This is more important now than ever before, since world governments and the mainstream media often try to suppress those whose opinions differ from the so-called official narrative. Here at FridayOnStore.com, we are dedicated to fighting for every American's right to speak their mind without the fear of censorship or suppression. That's why every purchase you make at FridayOnStore.com supports our pro-liberty video sharing platform, Brighteon.com, so we can keep bringing you all the latest unrestricted videos mainstream media doesn't want you to see. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at RightEonStore.com today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the banking crisis, it's getting mighty chilly out there. It all started last week with a 72-hour scramble to save the United States from a banking crisis. Silicon Valley Bank customers standing in line for hours at the Santa Clara location on March 13th to access their funds. Depositors rushing to the bank after the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, you know them as the FDIC, stated in a press release that all assets, both insured and uninsured, would be available for transfer starting on March 13th. Hold the phone, ladies and gentlemen. The FDIC, a government-funded, taxpayer-funded institution of insurance, was only supposed to insure depositors up to $250,000. What changed? So here is the important question. Did the Treasury Secretary have any concerns about the economic risks posed by Silicon Valley Bank, the bank that went down last week? It was a Friday morning. There was a wave of public panic that started to spread out all over the place, but about one of the tech industry's leading financial institutions came under the gun, Silicon Valley Bank. And that's when Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, commented on Capitol Hill that she was monitoring the recent developments concerning a few banks. And she said, I quote, "When banks experience financial losses,
It is and should be a matter of concern. Gee, you think, Janet, especially when you have the Federal Reserve just printing money willy-nilly out there. They're not owned by the government. They're not owned by the people. They're a private bank printing money, charging us interest for creating money out of thin air. I'm not sure I understand what's fair about that. But this, of course, has sent European markets crashing. Markets pricing in the central bank panic as Credit Suisse now has risk soaring. Anxiety over Credit Suisse has sparked a huge dovish response in the Fed's expectations, with the odds of a 50 basis point hike next week at the ECB tumbling. This, of course, the entire curve expectations for the ECB action has collapsed, with the market now pricing in only 75 basis points of a hike by this year's end. Even more notably, Fed hike expectations now have plunged, with the next week only a coin toss. Is it going to be between zero, or are they going to only hike at 25 basis points? What is going to keep the markets calm? The waters are very troubled right now, ladies and gentlemen, and the markets have actually already priced in a 60 basis point hike by this September. Of course, investor Carl Icahn took no time issuing this very grim warning on the U.S. economy. He's a billionaire investor saying that the United States economy is at a breaking point, blaming worse than mediocre leadership and a warning that soaring inflation threatens to topple America's position on the world stage. Hey, just a quick program cautionary note there. If you hadn't noticed, ladies and gentlemen, Afghanistan has already toppled our position on the world stage when we ran out of there like our, like dogs with our tails between our legs, leaving 13 of our incredible men and women in the military to be killed, and of course, leaving $85 billion of brand new equipment behind. Of course, you have to consider that inflation, according to Icahn, is the worst thing an economy can have. And he talks about how the fact that people underestimate that all the time. He said, historically, every hegemony has been destroyed by inflation. Some contributors to inflation were running higher than the headline pace of 6% last month, including ones that lower income, including the lower income households, which actually have spend much higher in proportion based on the money they take in. In other words, food, shelter have all gone up exorbitantly unproportionate to, say, people more well-off means. Food prices going up 9.5% year over year, shelter going up by an annualized percent of 8.1. But again, you have to consider the source. And people like Barney Franks, you know Barney Frank, of course, he's now going after crypto. And this is being put out by Unusual Whales. I encourage you to give them a follow on Twitter. Unusual Whales puts forth that Barney Frank, the former congressman known for Dodd-Frank's Act, said regarding the collapse of the three bank failures, the regulators want to send a message to get people away from crypto. We were singled out to be the poster child for that message. Then if you continue on with that, you look at what Unusual Whales is now mentioning with respect to the Silicon Valley Bank on Twitter as well. Governor Gavin Newsom and his wife, Jennifer Siebold. He's talking about the connections that they have to the Silicon Valley Bank. We'll take a look at this. He says, California Governor Gavin Newsom lobbied the White House and Treasury on the bailout of Silicon Valley Bank without disclosing that his private wineries had reportedly been the bank's clients, and he may have even had a personal account at the bank per The Intercept. But hold the phone. Unusual Whales calling him out again. Silicon Valley Bank previously gave $100,000 to the governor's wife, Jennifer Siebold's charity in 2021 upon Newsom's request. Why is it that the wealthy, those seemingly in charge, are getting all these special favors from Silicon Valley Bank? Why is it that Jen and Yellen would bend the rule on covering any deposits over $250,000 for Silicon Valley Bank? Is it because this is another example of the elite taking care of the elite? And did you know that only 3% of the depositors at Silicon Valley Bank had deposits less than $250,000? So 97% of them had way north of that. And yet, guess what? They're all fine. They didn't lose a dime. All good. Well, Silicon Valley, you're on notice. And this is exactly what we're talking about. Because again, Unusual Whales with this slam dunk tweet. This is what it means with Silicon Valley Bank in terms of the crisis. The Silicon Valley Bank rescue means regulators have guaranteed deposits for the entire U.S. financial system. Every Evercore founder, Roger Altman, has said this, and it goes on to say that the Silicon Valley's collapsed bank's president successfully pressured lawmakers to weaken bank risk regulations before his bank's collapse, and he touted the low risk profile of our activities and business models. In other words, he lied. He's bragging, and he knows he has the regulators in his pocket to make sure that they will be covered despite their risky behavior. Again, this is the elite taking care of the elite. This is the unelected bureaucrat taking care of the elite. These are the people that get paid off while you and me get left holding the bag. Okay, the 18th largest bank in the United States, Silicon Valley Bank, is best looked at in this next domino after FTX to fall. And it was before that you saw Brand fall. One by one, the rickety toothpicks that hold up the globalist controlled financial system are snapping, and the contagion that results from it will be immense. Of course, you've got to look at the people that bank at Silicon Valley Bank. You've got the pharmaceutical, the biotech companies, and now the defunct Silicon Valley banks are now firing these workers that were working for these various industries left and right, because again, they can't get left holding the bag. So again, remember, only 3% of the people that banked at SVP actually had deposits less than $250,000. Bank collapse contagion, anybody? That's right, customers lining up to take the First Republic Bank. This is getting to be a little bit of a broken record here, but customers of the First Republic Bank in Southern California are now outside trying to get into the branches, eager to withdraw funds in the wake of the collapse of SVB. SVB's collapse has raised fears that First Republic could suffer a similar bank run that could lead to its own demise. Analysts have pointed out that the similarities between SVB and First Republic's estimated value of assets versus actual value is quite striking. The fear led to First Republic losing 33% of its value during the week after SVB collapsed. All right, moving through this whole bank crisis, I want to remind everybody, this is where you want to take a pause and ask yourself, am I protected? Do I have my equities? Do I have my cash? Do I have my stocks? Do I have my 401k, my IRA? Is it protected? The banking business is built on a house of cards. It is built on sand. It is built on fractional reserves, meaning if you put in $100, they'll keep 10 and they'll loan out 90. That's what's happening right now, which means when everybody comes back in to get their 100 bucks, it ain't all there. This is what we're facing, ladies and gentlemen, and that bank panic is happening right now. They're trying to stem the tide by insuring everybody, but if this were to start happening to all the banks, the FDIC isn't going to be able to bail that out. If they are, they're going to collapse it all in, and we're going to be universal basic income, which is what they want with CBDC, which is why I tell everybody, get into gold, get into silver. That's constitutional money. It's sound money. It's biblical. They've been using it for 5,000 years. Real stuff you can touch. Go to KirkElliottPhD.com/Ann. Fill out a quick form with your name and email. Somebody will create an appointment to call you at a specified time, and you can have a dialogue with them, a Q&A, and this is where you get yourself educated on the benefits of gold and silver and why it's a buy and hold and preserve. It's a wealth preservation device because the markets are cuckoo right now, and if you can't stomach the wild ride on Wall Street, get into something that you can preserve your wealth today. All right, without that, I want to move into the international news because President Putin, again, the only adult in the room actually, has brought together Syria and Turkey in a meeting at the Kremlin. Putin, Assad, and Erdogan are now touching on the Syria-Turkey relations in talks. At the Kremlin in Moscow, the heads of state will discuss bilateral relations and the settlement of the Syrian crisis. Then the cooperation on the Syrian settlement with an emphasis on absolute sovereignty and territorial integrity of the country. Assad arriving in Moscow on an official visit on Tuesday. He was accompanied by a large delegation of ministers. The leaders met last time in September of 21, when the Syrian president also came to Moscow. And again, because you're actually seeing Putin as the only adult in the room and you're seeing the banking crisis unfold, and of course the truth is coming out about J6, the truth is coming out about the bioinjections, the bioweapons, the truth is coming out everywhere. They're going to throw us a Scud missile of sorts in the media propaganda machine. The aliens are coming. Brace for impact. That's right. Even the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, the officials have said in a draft document last week that aliens could actually be visiting our solar system, smaller probes like missions conducted by NASA when studying other planets. A draft research report authored by Sean Kirkpatrick, the director of the Pentagon's All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, and Abraham Loeb, the chairman of Harvard University's Astronomy Department, released this draft on March 7th, focusing on the physical constraints of underlined aerial phenomena. An artificial interstellar object could potentially be a parent craft that releases many small probes during a close passage to Earth. This, of course, is an operational construct not too dissimilar from NASA. the missions. The dandelion seeds is what they're calling this, could actually be separated from the parent craft by the tidal gravitational force of the sun or by maneuvering capability. Well, folks, again, if you believe that, I've got a bridge I'm going to sell you, and it's up in Brooklyn, and I'm only going to charge you $1 to have that bridge. This is a bridge too far. This is a distraction too far. This is just one more layer of what the government is going to do. I'm sure many of you out there in TV land have seen UFOs. I've seen a UFO. But again, it hasn't changed my life that there was a UFO that I saw offshore. My whole family in the car saw it. I don't know what it was. And frankly, it hasn't bothered me. I am going on my business of trying to save this republic and restore the republic that is being chipped away by people who don't believe in God and don't believe in life, and they support stuff that I can't condone. So if you agree with me, stick with me, because we'll be right back after this commercial break.
With so much of the world's current food supply consisting of dirty, contaminated, genetically modified foods that may have been grown using herbicides and pesticides, increased scrutiny over what you put in your body is of the utmost importance. Even supposedly organic foods found on most grocery store shelves may contain toxic substances, chemicals, and other additives that can be harmful to your health. That's why here at BrighteonStore.com, we subject all our in-house products to extensive lab testing for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology using our state-of-the-art spectrometry equipment to ensure the highest quality of cleanliness and purity. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
If you don't want to eat GMOs and pesticides in your storable food, choose organic, lab-tested storable food solutions from the Health Ranger store. We are the only emergency food manufacturer in the world that subjects each of our ingredients to rigorous laboratory testing that covers herbicides, heavy metals, aflatoxins, identity testing, and bacteria tests, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold. At healthrangerstore.com, you'll find certified organic, lab-tested, freeze-dried fruits, microalgae superfoods, protein powders, and supplements. We offer emergency first aid colloidal silver products made with Texas rainwater, and our Ranger buckets feature an impressive assortment of organic storable food items professionally vacuum sealed in heavy-duty bags that are stacked in rugged buckets for long-term storage. Check out our preparedness foods, supplements, personal care, and emergency first aid products at Health Ranger Store.
Well, as I said before break, the aliens are here, or at least the Department of Defense and the folks at the Pentagon are smarter than the rest of us. Apparently, they want to keep us totally distracted. But let's get back to what's important. We have a press conference coming up this Monday outside in Venice, Florida, addressing what is going on inside the Sarasota Memorial Hospital, because they're killing patients with remdesivir, a cocktail that Fauci knows is killing people, because they tested this and they know that 53% of the people that were on remdesivir in the study for Ebola died. Well, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says Anthony Fauci has actually been in charge of developing bioweapons for the Pentagon since 2002. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. joining talk show host Jimmy Dore recently discussed the U.S. involvement with the bioweapons program, Dr. Fauci's funding of the coronavirus gain-of-function research, and the anthrax scare going back to 2001. Gateway pundits Anthony Scott reported earlier on the anthrax attacks and the alleged CIA involvement in the bioweapons attack, Robert Kennedy Jr. insisting that the CIA was involved in the attack. Here he is with Jimmy Dore explaining all of this and more.
The Pentagon was very worried about actually launching a full-blown bioweapons arms race, because they said nobody, you know, this is very sketchy. The Patriot Act, you know, exemptions are very sketchy and people don't even know about it. And so they didn't want to do it. So they took the money that Cheney gave them, $2.2 billion, and they funneled it through NIH. And it all went through Anthony Fauci. So beginning in 2002, Anthony Fauci got a 68% raise from the Pentagon for doing bioweapons development. Wow. And he got a raise of billions of dollars a year to do it. And then he started that's when they started doing all this gain of function. And then in 2014, Three of those bugs escaped in high-profile escapes from different labs in the United States. Fauci built all these new labs at BU, at Galveston, to do his shenanigans. And so three of the bugs escaped, and they received publicity. They had smallpox and a lot of really bad things. And then Congress held hearings on it. Everybody was angry these bugs escaped, and 300 scientists, top scientists, sent letters to Obama saying, you got to shut down Anthony Fauci because he's going to create a pandemic. And so Obama ordered a moratorium. And at that time, Fauci had 18 different gain-of-function experiments he was doing around the United States. But Obama ordered him to shut them all down, but he didn't. He instead moved his stuff offshore to Wuhan, where he could do it out of sight of these 300 scientists and nosy White House officials who were trying to shut him down. And they continued to do it with Ralph Baric, the same people he was funding here, Ralph Baric,
wow,
and Peter Daszak, and they moved their operations to the Wuhan lab.
Well, going back to April of 2020, Gateway Pundit also reported that Chinese doctor Xi Zingli was a team working on the coronavirus project jointly with U.S. doctors in 2014 before it was shut down by Department of Homeland Security for being too risky. After the U.S. research project was shut down, Dr. Xi continued her coronavirus research in Wuhan, China. And the Bat Lady, as she's called, Dr. Zingli from China, was part of a team, including Dr. Ralph Baric from North Carolina's Chapel Hill, that published an article back in 2015, the edition of Nature Medicine. And in that article, they discussed that coronaviruses that showed potential for human emergence, publishing that article again in 2015. Again, it was all about weaponizing the everyday coronavirus. Pfizer's got a revenue plan. That's right. Ed Dowd talking recently about the amount of money, as extraordinary and as unbelievable as it is. Did you know that Pfizer doubled their revenue during COVID? Well, you should wait and hear just how much money they were hoping to make with mandatory shots every single quarter.
Decades and decades for Pfizer to get to $40 billion in revenues before COVID. After COVID, in 1 year, $90
billion. Wow. Go deeper on those numbers, by the way. When the company was founded?
Yeah, from when it was founded to, you know, right before COVID, it took decades to get to 40 plus billion.
Since COVID, they've
40 to 90 billion, 1 year.
In 1 year, they went to 90 billion in revenues. Now, I did some back of the envelope math in 2021. You have to go back to when we were at the fever pitch of terror and fear. If you remember correctly, they were talking about quarterly boosters ad infinitum forever with vaccine passports, and you have to get your papers checked. This was back in 21. So I did some back of the envelope math. If that had occurred and this had been carried out, and Pfizer got half of the global share of the vaccine, and I assumed 5 billion people would be vaccinated, 2 billion would either not or abstain, and I looked at what they were charging for the vaccine, quarterly boosters, that would have gotten them about $390 billion in revenues. That was where they wanted to take this, and that would be bigger than Apple's revenue streams.
Well, if that wasn't startling enough, remdesivir has also been estimated to have killed at least 100,000 Americans. The U.S. FDA authorized the experimental antiviral remdesivir, brand name by Veklury, for emergency use against COVID-19 back in May of 2020. By October of 2020, it had received full approval, and it still remains a primary treatment for COVID-19 in hospitals, despite research showing it lacks effectiveness and can actually cause high rates of organ failure. In mid-February, there's a gentleman by the name of John Boudouin who called for a criminal investigation into the drug, citing data for Massachusetts, and he estimates that remdesivir may have actually killed 100,000 people in the U.S. It was, by the way, remdesivir was developed by Gilead Sciences. The first shipments of remdesivir into the U.S. were received in May of 2020. And according to Gilead's website, it was not known if remdesivir is safe and effective in the treatment of COVID-19. Scientists who had closely watched the clinical trials of remdesivir unfolded over the last 6 months leading up to an agreement signed to supply remdesivir to the European Union and the FDA's full approval for COVID in October of 20
were also baffled by both decisions. They had many questions about the value and worth of the safety and potential lack of effectiveness of remdesivir. John Boudouin was walking through, talking about remdesivir, and now he's now come up with how we can actually work together as citizens, Americans in this country, and bring charges and hold those accountable for the misuse of remdesivir.
Yeah, you kicked that dirt back, Cooper.
Okay, people, it's time to get smart. Find out from your police what they need from you in order to pursue criminal charges for murder using remdesivir or involuntary manslaughter, any type of homicide. So let's do it. I'll tell you my journey as I go to the police and figure out what they need from me. Once they have enough information to do a preliminary investigation, if that preliminary investigation shows that there's enough, then they'll be obligated to bring it to a grand jury. And from that point on, it's up to the grand jury to subpoena evidence and witnesses. So let's go. Let's do it. It's killed over 100,000 people in the U.S. by my estimate using Massachusetts data, which is over 1,840 excess deaths in the last 2 years from acute renal failure alone. Thank you.
And President Trump, who was clearly pleased with his performance speaking in Iowa just earlier this week, put this truth out on his Truth Social page, saying under Trump, not one penny will go to schools and with vaccine or mask mandates. He says right here, the photo was done by Alamami, but President Donald Trump got the parental seal of approval on Monday night in Davenport, Iowa, for promising to withhold funding from public schools that implemented vaccine or mask mandates. Congratulations, President Trump. We look forward to hearing more from you with respect to what we're now learning about just how dangerous and deadly the bioweapon shots have actually been, and of course the hospital protocols that taxpayers have funded, which have resulted in killing millions of people around the world using remdesivir and ventilators. Okay, Anna Paulina. Luna, she's a newly minted and newly elected representative from Florida into the U.S. House of Congress. She is calling out Jane Fonda for the murder of pro-life members of Congress. In other words, Jane Fonda, remember her, China Jane, China Syndrome Jane, GI Jane? Well, apparently Jane Fonda took to The View not too long ago and was actually calling for the murder of anybody who was pro-life. Take a listen.
Doesn't surprise me, but unfortunately for Ms. Fonda, Capitol Police takes this issue very seriously, as do I and many other pro-life Republican colleagues. And so I'm sure that they'll be investigating, and she will be having to answer for her comments. Obviously, we take this as unacceptable from The View.
Did you contact the Capitol Hill Police and maybe show them a clip of this? Is that what you did?
Absolutely. So as soon as we heard it, you know, the most disturbing thing is this is The View. They're supposed to pride themselves on being a channel that promotes women viewpoints, right? Yet if you're pro-life, they want to essentially promote someone that's calling for your murder. And so we absolutely did report this. And Jesse, if I can just add, after this clip was posted, our office received another death threat that we then had to report to Capitol Police. So this is not uncommon for the left. They like to try to drown it out, to try to ignore it. But we take this seriously. And I want to add, too, that, you know, we've had Republican members of Congress shot, Representative Steve Scalise. And so for people to go on national news outlets and make these calls of violence simply because they don't like the fact that we are taking stands to protect life, I mean, these people are unhinged. But they need to be held accountable. There should not be a double standard.
And why is it that organizations that believe in standing up and burning things down seem to have all the money? That's right. Black Lives Matter movement has received a stunning $82 billion from corporations. And this is more than the GDP in many countries. We know that the leaders of the movement will live lavishly and have used money donated to the movement to buy luxurious homes. Who else has been helped by these donations? Where has all this money gone? Did you know that the money that Black Lives Matter has received is more than the GDP of 46 African countries and the $23 billion in profits in 2022 for the Ford Motor Company? Companies that you may know or do business with, like Walmart, for example, which is based in Arkansas, gave a whopping $100 million in support of BLM and related causes for focusing on racial equity. Amazon gave even more, supplying the movement with an astonishing $169.5 million. And the Silicon Valley Bank gave the movement $73.45 million. This is where you go, ladies and gentlemen. It's a bridge too far. It's too much hypocrisy to swallow. Their hubris will be their downfall. That's all we have for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We will see you back again tomorrow evening for more right now with Ann Vanderstilt. Have a great evening, everybody.